Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I got a problem.
Walking a bounce, Dennis free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 9 o'clock on Wednesday night. This is a special post-game edition of the Unused Substitutes coming from a rather desolate Shamrock Pub. It's amazing. People usually stick around when we win, but they heard us griping during the game. They don't want to relive it again. We are live on Radio St. Pete, part of Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Matt, and sitting next to me at the bar tonight is Steven. Steven, I'd ask how you're doing, but I already have a pretty good idea.
Oh, I'm going to
say, first let me say, happy Supporters Week, Steven.
Ah, yes. Happy Supporters Week.
It's been crap so far.
The teams and the leagues, you know, appreciate everything that we do as supporters. And
is this karma because they, like, put pictures of you? Like you're in the Rowdies header Twitter. You're in the league pictures. You're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, they tend to use the photographs of me a lot.
Can they, I mean, no offense. You're a beautiful man, but I have a feeling it's why we lost.
No, the reason we lost is because I predicted last week that we would lose. So that's the reality of it. So like
you know what's not the reason we lost? Tarek Morad. Sat out. Got the
funny how that works.
Got the seat tonight for his birthday. After a couple games of less than stellar outcomes and well, it just kept going on tonight. All right, Steven, we just suffered through it. We sat through it. We yelled at the TV, much like Neil Collins was yelling at the referee, sometimes probably as unintelligibly. All I really want to know tonight is what was Neil saying to the fourth official. But tell me what you saw from that debacle.
I think it was more of what I didn't see. As far as this
game, I know, goals.
Well, I mean, besides that. But I think for me, and you saw this from kickoff, like, our energy was just not there tonight. I don't know what happened. I don't know how you walk into this game lackadaisical after a 10-day rest. We did not come out with any kind of energy at all. And I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why we played the way we did. I mean, it was funny because obviously there was a lot of rotation in the squad tonight. We tried a couple of things for starting players and starting positions that we don't necessarily do very often. You had Siaj start up top. You had Tejada start as an outside mid. So both of those right off the bat are odd. You've got Kone coming in and being a starter, which isn't necessarily all that abnormal, but it was not because of injury or yellow card accumulation. It was just a straight up tactical type change. And I'll say this, I didn't think the starting 11 was bad. Again, we were tied at halftime. You know? Like, I didn't think it was a bad starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing we talked about going into the kickoff was, you know, Siaj gets his first start and Tejada moves back to one of those wing back slots, and it's an interesting place to put him. He's definitely has shown the energy, the ability to track and play defensively, I think. But a lot of people argue it wasn't his ideal spot, and you know it lasts for about 60 minutes. Malik comes in to sub in for Siage, and then Tejada moves up front. Malik takes his spot and try to kickstart something, and it just, you know,
it didn't kickstart anything.
We've been so used to the season to kind of everything working, even when we just do like random things, and the last, you know, 3-4 games. Stuff hasn't been working. I mean, I don't know if we're regressing to the mean, if we've been figured out, if teams have figured out the 3-5-2, figured out the way we've been playing or what's going on. But, you know, we've still got a number of games left to go, and we need to get some results from them so we don't pull a Charlotte.
You know, it's funny, though, because I didn't think tonight was a scenario where we got necessarily played off the pitch. In a way, well, no, okay, no, okay, that's where I was going to go with this. Okay,
there are definitely moments where we look to be in control.
No, no,
and
I
look
twisted
to
my
have
words. I was thinking of something else when I said that. My apologies. The previous losses, we have not been played off the pitch.
Okay.
This is the first time that I could say that we were legitimately played off the pitch.
Yeah, and I mean, not start to finish, but overall,
it was bad.
Yeah.
Just a really flat out bad game.
Cancel Supporters Week.
Yeah, right. Just throw it all. Put it in the trash can.
It's bad.
I'm done with it.
I don't like it so far.
No. That's the thing. It's, you know, when you look at the loss to New York, we dominated stretches of that match. Just a couple of fluke errors, and suddenly we don't get a result. But, you know, the North Carolina game earlier this year, it really wasn't that bad of a game. It's just they had a couple of breakaways, and they win the game 3-1 up, you know, when they were up here at Al Lang. This just overall, I don't know if there's a single player on the pitch that I even give like a 5 or 6 star, you know, out of 10. I don't know how high I would rate any of their performances tonight.
Well, and you know, this hasn't been a team that has, on average, scored a ton of goals in games. I mean, there's been one or two games where they've knocked in 3 or 4, usually not with the man advantage, but the last time we did, I think it was with the man advantage. This is a team that has gotten by on 1 or 2 goals a game and some solid defensive work, and that defensive piece has been completely missing in 3-4 of the last couple games. And, you know, this is when you are getting by on those results, it's fine. Until you're not, and right now I don't know if it's a slump, if it's fatigue, if it's a combination of all these factors, but what has worked so far is not working right now.
True. I mean, obviously, when you see the amount of losses that we've had in such a short span time, like you really do have to really look at yourself at this point and go, what is going on? Why are we not doing what we need to be doing to get the results that we need to do? And I don't think it's a scenario where teams have figured us out. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Because I don't think it's a tactical issue. I think it's just straight up, I think some of it's just errors, like just boneheaded errors that we weren't making at the beginning of the year. Or individual players not necessarily tracking back as well as he should. Because I think it was their fourth goal. Like, Leo was nowhere to be found playing back. Granted, it was towards the end of the game. It's a 3-1. It's a 3-1 game at that point. But there was a moment where I think Perez had the ball out wide, and it was just one-on-one with Caleb. And it wasn't the goal that he went down the wing. But we're all looking around like, where's Leo supporting this? Why isn't he dropping back? And, like, towards the end of that frame, like before the ball kind of drifts into the middle of the field, you see Leo kind of like walking into the picture a little bit towards the end, and then Tejada's like sprinting into the picture, and we're all like, see, now there's the problem. That's the problem right there. Why is Tejada as a striker sprinting back to play defense, but Leo as a midfielder is walking back to help support? Like, that's the difference of tonight.
Maybe that's what Neil was yelling at the referee about.
Yeah, right. I don't know why Neil was
yelling at the ref. He just picked the nearest guy and took out some frustrations.
There was a couple of calls, obviously, that could have been made, but I didn't think the ref was the problem tonight. Like, I don't see that. I will say this. The Gonzaghi as an attacking midfielder experiment needs to end.
Yeah.
That does not work. Like, I get Tenari maybe not having a greatest of games, but Gonzaghi as a attacking mid doesn't work at all.
Your reaction when they dropped him back. I don't think we're actually able to repeat it on radio.
I had a freaking aneurysm when that happened. Oh, my gosh.
You wish you were the kind of person that hung out in bars and drank a lot at that point.
Yeah.
I'm having them for you tonight instead.
Yeah, that maneuver is pretty much what leads me to do the show live here instead of just at home crying in a in a bowl at home or something. In a bowl of ice cream.
Oh, man, ice cream sounds really good right now, too.
Ice cream does sound really good right now. There you go.
Anybody have any ice cream? Can we get some ice cream at the bar, please? Ice cream at the bar. There's a pizza place about a block down. They might have gelato. I'd settle.
I'll say this. The scary part about tonight, though, is that I thought the subs were actually pretty all right. As far as the subs, the players that they took off, the players they put on, I didn't think was necessarily all that bad. I honestly would have probably put, like, Cassana as an attacking midfielder over Sebastian just because I don't trust Gonzaghi in that role at all at this point.
Well, especially after he's been poked in the eye.
Yeah, right. But, I like I said, I didn't think it was a formational thing. I think a lot of it was just effort and just some really boneheaded errors. Now, I mean, granted, like, the Diakite thing, that kind of stuff happens.
Right.
You know, like, that's going to happen. But, as somebody pointed out in the bar, it's good to go through this stretch here in August.
Then October.
Then hitting October, yeah. And you suddenly lose 3 of 4 walking into the playoffs. If we can turn things around before, you know, September rolls around, then this is okay. But we need to – this is really setting up kind of one of those we absolutely positively, like, we will not accept anything but a win.
We've got to get one. I mean, you've got a Memphis team coming to town that has been ripe for – a beating, however, you know, we got a couple of former players out there that might be looking to get a little revenge. But yeah, I mean, if you look at the table right now, and this is, I put this image in there before we came on tonight, but North Carolina is down in fifth place. They're now level with us on points and level with us on wins and going to be ahead of us on goal differential. So we should be down in third place right now at this point. After this result tonight. So, yeah, getting a win, getting points this weekend is going to be an absolute must.
Yeah, just for the fact that it's the first time we've lost back-to-back games all year. So, you know, I mean, it's – I don't know. You got to do – you got to get
the bar clears out when we lose. See, We lose and our live crowd turns into a heckling section. We're being pelted with coasters and cheese balls over
here. Yeah, this is true.
Usually I have to pay extra for this kind of treatment.
Yeah.
Let's do like a modified good, bad, ugly. Was there anything good you saw in this game? You mentioned the subs, the play of the subs.
I thought the subs were fine. So I'll give Neil credit there. Like we made some of the right moves. Outside of the shifting of players once they're on the field. The subs themselves I thought were right.
I don't know how you differentiate between the bad and the ugly. Well, let's put this, because this was one of the topics of discussion going on the bar. Of course, it was agitated people watching a game with the companion of alcohol. Was Robinson at fault for any of these goals?
No.
Is there anything different he could have done?
I mean...
Is this a situation that's different if McCarthy's in there, if McCarthy's healthy?
See, that's the real question. It's not did Robinson do enough. It's could McCarthy have saved any of those?
Right.
I don't think so. Maybe, I don't think so.
Maybe the first one where it deflects off his hand and kind of pushes his hand back, goes in the goal, maybe a different position, maybe a different setup on that does it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the own goal is an own goal. Off Diakite is going to deflect.
And the other two were just... defensive, like,
yeah.
Just completely lapsed and just let them get a free shot.
That being said, we still gave up 3 goals from the run of play, which is not something you expect to see this team do when they're playing at full strength.
This is true.
It's absolutely not something that should be happening.
This is true.
And
I think that comes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the game and the beginning of the show, is just that a lot of this was effort-related tonight.
Yeah.
Because they were just walking around, especially in the first half. They're just walking around. You get the ball back, and it's like, okay, well, I don't know what I want to do with it. I'm just going to walk around and, you know,
I don't know,
hang out for a bit. And
Yeah. I don't know if the rain had any effect, like making the field heavier, making it, you know, because the passing was off in the second half. Like, everything was just bad.
Yeah, it's just bad.
So
it
we'll
really
just,
is.
We'll call the entire second half bad.
Oh, God.
Because we went in it. So, ugly? What? Let's pick one ugly. Because I feel like there's many.
Yeah, right. Ugly. Ugly. It's funny because I had thought of something earlier.
I'll tell you what wasn't ugly was Anders' puppy.
Oh, jeez.
The therapy dog we had passing around the bar here tonight to try and
that
cope with his game.
A really well-timed therapy, like brand new baby puppy session there.
I never even got my hands on it. I'm mad. This is why, see, I'd be feeling a lot better.
I would say the ugly for tonight is, did we have a single shot from outside the 18?
I don't think so.
That's my ugly.
I don't think we did, and we had opportunities, it felt like.
Yeah, I think that's my ugly.
Okay.
Because like, I think there was like one effort for it, and it like completely went off the side of the foot, and like I don't even think even went forward. I think it went backwards. But like somebody, I think one person maybe tried.
And it was deflected.
I think it was Leo. No, Leo. I think it was Leo's effort. Like, yeah, I think he tried to take a shot, and
right.
It like, literally went off the side of his foot and just went back like the wrong way. So I don't think it counts.
All right, well,
That's my ugly, because that's a trend that we've seen now.
Yeah.
From this team that has really bothered me for months, and it's still bothering me.
So let's toss this one in the trash, and let's focus on this weekend and hopefully better times. Before we get there, though, some notable results games we were keeping an eye on last week. And now this first one is going to speak to this game a little bit. Like, this isn't to take anything away from North Carolina. They're a quality team. They just came off a 5-0 win over Pittsburgh.
A Pittsburgh team. Now, granted, there was like a red card early with a PK
yeah.
that completely changed the course of that game.
But still, that's so, you know, they're riding the momentum. They came in with an unchanged lineup. And got the early goal, which is gonna keep them flying high. And you know, I'm not surprised necessarily by the loss, but the margin is really what kind of bothered me. Charleston dropped a 2-1 decision to Louisville. Charlotte stumbles again, losing 3-1 to Nashville. Indy gets a 2-1 win over St. Louis. Like, St. Louis kind of pulled themselves into contention there for a minute, and now neither them nor Charleston or Charlotte, I mean, can get a result. Other games going on. Nashville and Red Bull 2 are playing tonight. They've got to be getting close to the end. We'll see if we can get an update on the score. I know last time we checked it was 1-1. Red Bull 2 are already 1 point ahead of us going into tonight. This would make it a draw would be the an okay result, preferably a loss, but probably not going to happen in this game. Other games keep an eye on coming up this week, rest of this week into the weekend. Ottawa plays St. Louis. Louisville and plays tonight's opponent, North Carolina. Is that a final or is that still going? Still 1-1 in the Red Bull-Nashville game. We'll hope for either a late Nashville goal or even though a Nashville win puts them ahead of us. Actually, I think the draw puts them ahead of us too, doesn't it? Let me see. No, draw keeps them level with us. So you'll have the Rowdies, you'll have Nashville if this result holds, and you'll have North Carolina on 46 points, Indy just outside there. And Red Bull 2 about 2 points ahead. So your top four is really going to kind of be unchanged except for certain positions, and now North Carolina hopping in the mix as well. Excuse me. We've also got Bethlehem and Birmingham coming up this week, which is not a huge game because Birmingham has kind of solidified themselves as the number 10 seed, but Bethlehem could hop in with a win, and Indy and Charlotte. With the current table being in flux due to this game going on, I don't really want to run over that real quick, but St. Louis and Charlotte are stumbling, and Birmingham's taking the advantage and getting some results, and I think they're furthering their lead. We talked about, is St. Louis or is Charlotte going to get that last spot? It might end up being Birmingham.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think St. Louis will do it, but they're really making me look foolish at the
unbeaten
moment.
In five, and they haven't allowed a goal in those five games.
Yeah, Birmingham's on a tear.
So they're peaking at the right time, which is good. With these games still going on, we're not going to really mess with the points per game table either.
Yeah,
plus,
we're
just depressed. We're not going
to
do
it. Don't
worry about it. Yeah. We'll probably post it online somewhere, maybe tomorrow, later on tomorrow when I get home from work
or
something.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. We have to do that. Give some content for our social media channels.
We can do a little analysis. So kind of hopping into the league news, And we were talking about this a little bit. So, you know, I got an email that was like from Copa 90 and USL. I want to say like Sunday night maybe or Monday morning about this whole Supporters Week thing. And like, I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a really, really cool idea for the teams and the league to showcase some of the fans around. But like, I didn't hear anything about it until I got that email like the night before. Like, this should be something you kind of put out there and tell the supporter groups you're doing, tell some of the people you're looking to get involved what's going on and kind of build this up and promote it. I think it's cool the way some of the clubs are interacting. Basically, it's every club doing what Vegas would do in a regular week.
Yeah.
I saw Fresno is letting fans decide the color of their goalkeeper's hair for the weekend, which is just, you know, what Vegas calls Wednesday.
Exactly.
But Fresno's like, hey, it's going to be a special event kind of thing. But for a more local connection, well, besides your picture popping up everywhere, they interviewed Mike Pendleton, who, like, no slight to everybody else that I see and talk to and interact with on the weekends at the games, but Mike's probably my favorite person at a Rowdies game. Just, no, I like you too. I mean, it's like 1 and 1A with like Pendleton and everyone else. But Mike's just like, he's got great content on Twitter. The attendance stuff he does, the some, like he was posting some stuff, you know, when the Detroit and Chattanooga to NISA news broke, some interesting stuff about the St. Louis now moving to MLS. Like he's just fun. Plus, where he sits in the stadium makes him look. I call him the Emperor because. He looks like Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator when he's, like, standing up before a game or at halftime. Like, Mike's just a fun guy to talk to and does a lot of stuff, I know, behind the scenes and in front of the scenes sometimes with the mob, especially with the merchandise stuff this year. And, he did the Pride Razor scarf for – I think he designed the mob's one and he did the national Pride Razor one, which is really cool. So I like this. I hope they keep doing it. This is the new thing this year. And I like it. I think it's pretty cool. I just wish we could like win a game during Supporters Week.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd
be very nice. No, Mike.
That's what these supporters want. So you know.
No, Mike's great, and you know I've known him pretty much since he started going to games almost. Going back since the beginning because he wanted to get involved. Like he legitimately like when he got introduced to everything because this was his real first like real major first taste of live soccer was
he's kind of one of those guys and I was to a similar extent like a non-soccer like more traditional big four U.S. sports and then was like let me go to this and see it. And he doesn't in that article if you haven't read it first of all Nick Murray did a really good job writing it up but Mike does a really good job of expressing like why this has become his thing and for a lot of us why it's become our thing like why this is the one team. I mean, maybe the Vipers will give us a run for our money now in terms of our allegiance, but I have a feeling that I'm just going to stick with the Rowdies.
The Vipers or the Vaginas or whatever team that is. I don't know.
The like 80s cartoon / minor league baseball team names that they came up with. Although I'm kind of there for the Battle Hawks. St. Louis Battle Hawks.
I just don't understand what a Battle Hawk has to do with the city of St. Louis.
I mean, I never knew what a Rail Hawk had to do with North Carolina.
Yeah, but what does a Viper have to do with Tampa Bay?
I don't know.
Like,
I think they just wanted to use the colors.
I think they came up with Viper. Just like it almost looks video game-ish. I don't know why we're talking about like a second.
Because it's better than talking about the game we just watched.
True. This is true. You see what you have done to us, Rowdies? See what you've done to us? We have now become a random podcast of subjects.
It's like if you took like Madden, but you had the unlicensed version, like in Football Manager, where all the teams are like Manchester Red,
yes.
Manchester Blue.
Yes.
Like this is what XFL 2020 sounds like. Anyway. Read the Pendleton article. I've retweeted it. We'll put it out there again. Other news going around the league. Tulsa they tweeted about an exciting development, which means one of two things. Either they're going to intentionally drop down a league to League One. Either they've somehow managed to get some money for a stadium. Or an ownership change, and Tulsa's Wheel of Fortune landed on ownership change. I don't know much about the people that come in. Except they were owned before by the organization that owns the Tulsa Drillers, like minor league baseball team, and owns the stadium. Like they just put together a soccer team to keep using the stadium and bringing people in. It seems like, but they found some a local family that wants to get involved and apparently has the money to do it. And good for them. Like, that's, you know, that's another one of those, these traditional, you know, U.S. soccer names from the 70s and 80s that people are familiar with and you know, hasn't had quite the success with what they've been doing. So maybe this will change for it. The other one that comes as no surprise in the last few weeks, St. Louis will be going to MLS, but not St. Louis FC. It's not the same ownership group. The people from St. Louis FC said they're not going anywhere. Pinch of salt.
Yeah, so here we go again with another classic with no regulation in soccer, two teams in the same market with two different divisions, and yeah.
But, like, St. Louis FC was like, full-on behind, like, this push, like, to get MLS there. So
Because they were hoping they could sell the brand and make a profit on this, you know, crazy investment that nobody ever makes money on. So the moment it didn't get sold, they said, fine, we're going to fight you and ruin your product. Because raw. Yeah, whatever.
So, you know, lots of, I feel like I should.
Another victim of the American soccer wars.
You know, I didn't put in here. I meant to, and I could bring up my story I was sharing with you from last night. The continued saga of Outer Miami.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
With their toxic dump golf course that you can't build a stadium on, but you can still go play golf.
But you can still go play golf. Yes. It's a toxic waste site, but you can play golf on it. And you just can't build a new stadium.
They're going to get a second opinion, like a second test done. But this, I guarantee you, is how they justify, well, we're just going to have to play at the old Lockhart Stadium site forever.
Yeah. Yeah, Outer Miami.
And all those fans in Miami who never went to Strikers games are now going to pretend like it was no big deal, and they can go up there for Miami FC.
Of course, when you have, like, Edison Cavani, like, everybody's going to go and see him because it'll be worth it. Like, sorry, but, like, Fafa Picolt is great. I love him, but him playing at Fort Lauderdale is not the same thing as, like, a Cavani playing at Fort Lauderdale. Like, I love you, Fafa. You're one of my favorite players, but no, it's just not the same.
I'm guessing Zlatan's not going to go to Miami at this point then for a variety of reasons.
I don't even have a response to that except for the fact that Zlatan better come and join the Rowdies just for giggles.
I know, right? We got to make Pendleton's graphics come true.
Yes.
All right. Let's hop in. Like you said, we're going to toss last weekend out. We're going to look ahead, or tonight out. We're going to look ahead to this weekend. Memphis is coming in, sporting a nifty 4-12-7 record overall. They're 2-6-4 away. They're 1-3-1 in their last five. Leading scorer is a guy by the name of Elliot Collier. 5 goals. Brandon Allen, former Rowdy, since being traded, has racked up 4 goals for them, and they've got 4 more guys tied at 2. In assists, Marcus Epps leads them with 4. Marcus is the USF kid, isn't he? Wasn't he the USF kid that Red Bulls drafted and then it's kind of bounced around a little bit? I think so. Like, he
that
was in
such
no,
a
not New York, Philly.
Piece of
Philly
trivia
drafted
that
him.
You threw at me that I was not prepared for. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know. I've got nothing.
Epps has 4 assists. They've got 3 guys tied at 2 and 6 more tied with 1 assist. Epps has the most shots in the season, 45 for them. Collier with 33. Brandon Allen, 19. Most chances created, Cameron Lindley, 33. Epps with 31. And Adam Najem, another name that's going to sound familiar to us, with 26. They've kept 4 clean sheets on the season out of
a lot of games,
20-something games. So yeah, they're allowing 1.4 goals per game. They're keeping about 40% average possession, and they've only scored 3 goals outside the box. We might have more goals or more shots outside the box than they do. I did not see today's latest discipline report. I don't know if anything's changed, but I went through and saw last week's. Oduro made it through tonight with no yellow, right?
Yeah.
So that's
so he should be fine coming into
one or one, yeah. And that's, I haven't kept track, like, how many games is he hit, because there's that, like, that, you know, you don't get 5 games in a row without a card and you get one wiped off.
Oh, you'd have to go back and look, because I think he still have to be on the roster for that,
right?
And he wasn't even making the bench.
Yeah,
so those games that he wasn't here,
you've got to get in the game though, right, for it to count. Is there
no,
a certain,
I think it's just game day raw, so
as long as you're in the 18,
I would think. I mean, I would think.
Gosh,
you're gonna. Why are you bringing up all these random points with no preparation?
Know.
Gosh, Matt.
Because man, this is what happens when I go back to work and I have like 2 hours a night to work on this stuff again.
You have a week to work on this.
I was at a sleepover at the Air Force Base in Tampa last weekend.
Man.
It's a long story. But that, you know, we want to get a win this weekend. But also, there's a lot of local connections on this team, so it's kind of I think we'll have a an interesting crowd because you'll definitely have some people there. Memphis's head coach Mulqueen, you know, he was the U.S. goalkeeper coach for a while. He was a goalkeeper coach in Central Florida for that club over there. But in between, he was the basketball coach at a private school down here in Bradenton.
Ah, the things you do to make money for
like
your family.
He wanted to stay local once IMG was getting rid of the U.S. Academy, and so he did that for a little while, and then he got called to that club over there. But he's, you know, his kids are down here going to school down here. You've got Brandon Allen team. You've got I'm actually glad to see Jochen Graf coming back. Hopefully he'll play and I hate to say I don't want him to score because I want him to, you know, do well, but I don't want him to score against us. But I'm looking forward to seeing them. Epps is Epps is a USF kid. They've got Wesley Charpy on the team too, who is also another USF kid. Like, there's a lot of kind of connections there, so it should be a fun game. There's going to be some familiarity between some of the players, some of the coaches. I think Mulqueen still like keeps a house here. I'm pretty sure his kids are still in school in the Bradenton area. So should be an interesting turnout for that game.
Yeah,
it's Georgie Bobblehead Night.
It's Georgie Bobblehead Night.
Georgie's going to be there.
Yes,
we're going to get bobbleheads.
Yes,
maybe we can get signed bobbleheads. I don't know.
Oh, jeez. Look, here's the thing. As far as Memphis, obviously we played them week one, okay? You really can't look at that game and go, okay, we know what we're looking at.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously it's week one. Everybody's 0-0-0, and
they've made a ton of changes, brought in new players since then.
It's a whole freaking different team. I mean, when you really kind of break down kind of what they were doing against us in those first couple of weeks in general, and then you compare to what they're doing right now, it's not the same team. So, like, this is basically like playing somebody for the first time. Is kind of when I look at this. This is like playing a team that we haven't played before, essentially.
Yeah. Still looking at the records, I feel like we should win this game.
Which is funny because with this many losses and this many games in a stretch like this, it's hard for me to be confident and say that.
Yeah, I kind of keep going back to I put out a poll on our website kind of around the mid-season time when we only had the one loss and said, where do you think we're going to end up at the season? How many losses? And I think the first category I put in was like 1-5. And that's kind of where I am. Like, I'm not going to be shocked that we go into the playoffs with 5 losses. We're sitting on 4 right now. It's going to be have to turn this around to meet that kind of goal. Like, I'm not surprised with 4 losses. I just don't like that, you know, 3 of them were in the last 4 games.
Yeah. This is going to be a weird game. I'll say this. Memphis, we're not catching them on any kind of a hot streak. That's good.
We're not coming into it in any kind of hot streak either.
Well, this is true. But again, we're not catching them at a good time type of deal. But
they're not fighting for a playoff spot. We're trying to get better.
And they're not that good.
No.
They're not that good. They don't take shots from distance just like we, you know, just like we don't. So it's going to be one of those, as long as you're tracking your runners, which is part of the problem that we had tonight, but as long as you're tracking your runners, they try and walk goals in like we do.
Right.
So
here's what it comes down to. Who has the better food? Tampa Bay's got the Cuban sandwich.
The real question comes
Memphis
out.
Has, what do they have, the spicy chicken?
We have a Publix sandwich.
No, we don't have a Publix sandwich.
We have a pub sub.
There's a brand new Publix opening up in downtown Tampa that's not even serving subs.
That's an abomination to Publix.
So that's not what we're going Cuban sandwich here. Our Cuban sandwich is better than whatever their fried chicken is.
This is true.
So right there, that tells you, that's going to be my prediction.
And we visited Birmingham because Birmingham has better barbecue anyways.
I mean, I can go with that.
So there you go.
So I'm going to say 3-1 to the Rowdies. We're going to snap. I don't know if we're going to get completely out of the funk, but we're going to make the weekend good. It's Georgie Bobblehead Night. We're not losing to Memphis on freaking Georgie Bobblehead Night. If we're down in the second half, I'm putting Georgie back on the damn field.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Or the bobblehead itself.
I would say this for my my prediction for this week is that I think if the supporters come out hard early in the match, and we definitely put in a solid shift from the get-go, mm-hmm. not just you know, lackadaisical, okay, here's a song, okay, let's just pick this one, but like some serious fired energy where you want to sing a song for a good like 7 or 8 minutes just straight,
right?
And you're just fired up and you're into it, and I think we'll rally the team and kind of wake them up a little bit.
So screw the heat, to hell with the humidity.
Who cares about rain?
Come out, be loud, get sweaty. You can take a shower when you go home.
Because we've got to kind of snap these guys' attention back into place a little bit. Because I think that's part of the problem here, is just, and especially tonight, is that they just look distracted. So I think
we got to remind them.
I think
it's supporters' week.
Kind of one of the things we got to do. I will say this: I think we're good enough to shut out Memphis.
Yeah.
I do think we're good enough to do that. And I think this is going to be the kind of game against the kind of team that we can achieve that. So my prediction for this week, I'm going 2-0.
Oh, okay.
That's my prediction for this
week. All right. I can see that. I like that. Either way, I just want to win, honestly. I just want
to
win.
We need three. We need to get, like I said, we need to snap our attention back. We need to get a win. And it's, again, it's not even for seeding. It's not for playoff. I'm not even worried about that right now.
It's just mentality.
We went into the season with zero expectations, and now we're all like, some people are panicking because they're like, oh, man, we're dropping points, and we're not going to finish in first. And we're like, okay, we're lucky not to be finishing in last right now. Can we put a little perspective on this? But, you know, like, but again,
we've cruised along this far, and now we're getting hit in the mouth, and we've got to react.
Exactly. And that was one of the things, right, is that it's not about – you know, when you're looking at trends and you're looking at even and season, I mean, it's not even obviously this is not just a season comment. It's life in general. You got to be able to adapt when things go wrong.
Yeah.
Like you have to be able to pull yourselves out of that. Like when that game hit 3-1, we have to be able to pull ourselves out from that. Because here's the thing. If all you do all season is only win games where you score first or you're not losing at halftime, which, by the way, has basically been our season so
You're
far.
A mid-table team.
Well, no. If things go bad in a playoff game, you're not coming back in a playoff game just magically because you have to be able to prove you can do it during the season.
Yeah. So maybe going through hell now is a good experience.
It is. But tonight's kind of one of those things where it's frustrating where you're just like, at 3-1, there was just no impetus to try and correct it.
Right.
On the field. I mean, obviously, Neil was making subs to try and bring some energy into the field. Now, granted, I disagreed with some of the player placement, but there was an effort to try and do that. But again, it's just, there was no leadership moment where, like, sometimes Diakite takes a leadership role on mm-hmm. the field. And, like, tonight he didn't do that. You didn't see that, like, you didn't see him try and pick himself up after he let in that own goal
right.
on that third one. Like, you didn't see him say, okay, I made a mistake, let's shake it off, let's go shove it down their throats.
No, I mean, the one thing I did is when
it didn't happen.
When Murad comes in, it looks like he's trying to organize things, trying to get the guys, you know, pumped up. But there's only so much you can do coming in late as a sub when you're down in a hole like that.
Yeah.
So, you know. It,
but that's the thing. It's if you're going to win... You know, what is it, five games total for the playoff, for the championship? It's the four games in your conference plus the championship game?
Is it four or is it three?
I mean, either way, you got to win at least four in a row.
Right. You got to win.
You got to win four in a row. You're not going to go into all four of those games with a lead at halftime and then win the game at the end, even if they come back and tie you or
and
something
you don't
like
have
that.
To
You have to go in, and you're going to have to be able to play from behind and get a win in at least one of those four games.
And you don't have to worry about tiebreakers and goal differentials and all that crap. You just got to score
gotta
one
win.
More than the other.
You've got to find a way to get a win.
Yeah.
And
which is exactly what we need to see happen this weekend.
Which is what we needed to see tonight.
Yeah.
That's what we needed to see tonight. Because, again, you may or may not be able to host every game. You know, we might have to go to New York and play that, like, conference final game in New York, potentially. And that's going to be a tough game because I hate to break it to you. You're probably going to be losing that game at halftime, like 1-0, and you're going to have to find a way to pull yourself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, this team hasn't done that.
All right. So we'll see on Saturday what happens.
We'll see what happens. I'm confident this weekend we turn around, but I think a lot of it's going to have to do with supporters kind of getting
supporting.
In your face a little bit.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, obviously not literally, but if, like I said, if we come out dull.
You mean we're not jumping the field?
We're not jumping the field, are we? Are we bum rushing him in the parking lot? No. No, that's out of line, right?
I mean, that's what that's what Brad Friedel
wants
to do.
That's what Brad Friedel was saying. Exactly. I'm glad you've caught that, because that's where I was going with it.
I almost went with the Guzan, because I always mix up the Friedel and the Guzan.
So I think there is a little bit of onus on us as fans. And even if you're not a supporter, just being a fan and just trying to get these guys fired up in general, no matter where you are in the stadium.
Speaking of supporters, I'm gonna hijack your We Love You for this week. I'm gonna do a combined show one for JD, who is at the stadium in North Carolina tonight and will be back Saturday at Al Lang. Shout out to JD for making the trip up there, posting online. Like, he saw that in person, and he's still like, you know what, I never have a bad time when I watch you guys play. We'll pull it together and get it done on Saturday. So I'm gonna go with his spirit right there. Thank you, as always, to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, where we are tonight. I guess thank you to Steven, too, for making the drive down here and turning around and making that drive back home tonight. Thank you to you all guys for continuing to listen and sharing, subscribing, rating, reviewing the show, getting out in front of the people. If you want to support us on an ongoing basis, you can head to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. This has been the Unused Substitutes. Next Wednesday should be a lot better. We hope. We pray. Steven, I'll see you on Saturday. Drive safely tonight.
Oh, yeah. A good little hour drive, and hopefully there's no rain.
I'm sure you'll be checking before you go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys on Saturday, and we'll be back on Wednesday to talk to you. Thanks to you guys for listening. See you later.
Go Rowdies.
The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the wall around.